Good morning. We'll get everybody to grab their seats. So before we do announcements, I'm just gonna get everybody to grab their seats first. There's a seat right at the front, Steve, here for you. As some of you may know or some of you may not know, John passed away in the evening, so we'll just open in a word of prayer for him and John Martin and for Joan and Terry, and we'll just open in prayer for them before we do announcements, and we'll go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, and we thank you as we are grieving the loss of John Martin, and we ask that you would give strength to Joan and Terry in this time and their family and all of John's friends, his daughter, all the ones that he's impacted throughout his life, and we ask that you would just be overwhelmingly with them as a family as they grieve the loss of their son, and at the same time the loss of a friend, loss of a brother, loss of a father, loss of a nephew. Father, he is in your hands. And we know that, and we ask that you would just be merciful unto him. At the same time, this family needs your constant encouragement, constant direction, and constant hope and rest in the Lord and what he is doing. God is over all, and we are thankful for that. Just give us, as the bride of Christ, a heart of compassion for this family, and give them strength through whatever means is necessary to go through this. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The collection today is for the Compassion Fund. It'll be taken today for the Compassion Fund. Just so everybody knows that the collection is for the Compassion Fund. There's a planned meal after the service today, and I was told that the pastors and wives go first. I was told to say this, so I'm just doing what I'm told. Terry and Travis are going to Southeast Asia on a mission trip, so you can keep them in mind. Terry and Travis, Barry and Beth's son-in-law and daughter, so keep them in mind as they travel, and they're doing a mission trip in Southeast Asia. Men's Bible study at my place Wednesday, 7:30. Friday Bible study at 7. Next Sunday, school and adult Bible study at 10. And worship service at 11. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes. Order of worship today, hymn 371, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The psalm reading will be, Flint will read the psalm 146. The hymn 3, I Surrender All. Neil will give us the prayer. Hymn 180, Take My Life and Let It Be. The sermon text, it will be Misha, Brother Misha. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. And hymn 163, Break Thou the Bread of Life, and Steve will do the communion service, and then hymn 458, To God Be the Glory, followed by doxology 670. Any other announcements? Let's begin.
The psalm reading for today is Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them from that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign over forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
Together in a moment of prayer. Lord, we're coming to you this morning with a lot of things to pray about today. Lord, we thank you in these times, even in times of trouble. Lord, we lift up the families of Joan and Terry with the loss of their son John, and And we pray for them as well as the Samson family and their loss of their mom, Lord. We pray that you would be with those families, that you would guide them, strengthen them, keep them, give them wisdom, give them courage. Lord, we pray that you would let their hearts still honor you, Lord, and that your name would be honored and gloried in every conversation that comes forth from those two conversations, Lord. Lord, we also, in these times of trouble, we know that your Spirit intercedes for us, and there's going to be times when we just don't know what to say. And as we're studying about in adult Sunday school, Lord, that your Spirit would intercede on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. So we take comfort in that, Lord. We come to you, Lord, also with thanksgiving for new beginnings. Chase and Ida getting married here, coming up soon, and we pray that you would be with the families as they travel. Give them all that they need, and we pray that the trip would go smooth, the safe travel, and that the proceedings would go well. And we would like to give thanks, even though, yes, Lord, there are lots of things that are troublesome and trying in our trials, but Lord, that the outside world would see our strength in our trials, and we thank you for these new beginnings, and we can focus on what we would say, new life, new beginnings. We also thank you, Lord, for those who have gone on before us as veterans that have served our country and fought for our freedoms and the freedom for us to be here today, to be together and surrounded with your love and focus on your word. So we pray for all those that have families that are missing their loved ones that have fought for that freedom and be with them today. And also, Lord, that you would open the ears as we are as listeners here today, that we would hear the message and that you would give the words for Misha here today to speak truth. And also we pray that most perfect prayer, Lord, in your name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, and grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have many reasons to be thankful to our Heavenly Father for many things, for many blessings, and sometimes we don't understand something what we receive from Him. And today our hearts and our prayers with Joan and Terry and with all their family. We don't understand why it happened, but we still believe in God, and we believe that John was with his Lord and he will be in better place. And our prayers with John, Terry, and entire family. And let us turn today to our text. This is Gospel from Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. In fact, to the end of the chapter. And let us read in the name of Jesus. Verse 38. And his And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. This shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Amen. And first words of our text is, and he said unto them, in his doctrine, and he said unto them, and who are they with whom Jesus spoke and to whom he said those words? And in the end of the previous verse 37, we can read, And the common people heard him gladly. So common, ordinary people were around him this time, and he spoke to them. And if we go through this 12th chapter, we can see that all those things happened in the temple, and Jesus was there, and all those things happened just 2 days before death of Jesus Christ. It was on Wednesday, and on Friday he was killed and crucified. So, and Jesus was in the temple with his disciples, and he had many conversations there with Pharisees and with the scribes and with other prominent people, religious people of Israel of that time, and they wanted to trap him several times, but Jesus rejected their attacks. And finally he spoke with ordinary people, with common people, like it is written here. And in fact, it was the last time when Jesus spoke to common people, when they had, when ordinary people had an opportunity to listen to him, because it was very close to his arrest and then crucifixion. And after that, Jesus spoke only with his disciples. And we can say that Jesus knew, he knew about his coming arrest and death, and he knew that this is the last time when he had, it was possible for him to speak to ordinary people, to the crowd. And Jesus chose subject of this conversation with them, so he decided to talk to them about their spiritual leaders. And he could speak to them about many things, and he could give them instructions, maybe last instructions. For example, when some of us leave a home, for example, myself, maybe I can tell my wife, or don't forget to switch the light or gas, or some valuable instructions we can give. But Jesus decided to speak about spiritual leaders of Israel of that time, and probably it was he thought it was very important. And he said, "Beware of the scribes. Beware of the scribes." And who were the scribes? The scribes were maybe theologists of that time. They were keepers. They were teachers of the law. They were highly educated people. They knew very well the scriptures and a lot of places from this Old Testament they knew by heart. And so they were, in fact, people of Israel liked them because they were teachers, they were educated, they could give good advice, and also they were like lawyers of that time. So they knew not only religious law, but also law, civil law of that time, and they could give different advices to the people about their life, about different life situations. And also, important thing they did, so they kept God's word, so they rewrite the scriptures, Old Testament, and they were very diligent for them, for that job. And we can be thankful, in fact, to them that they kept Old Testament, they kept God's word like we have it today, and it was preserved very, very exactly. So, and we can be thankful to them for this. So they did God's work. But Jesus says here, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces." So, and here Jesus didn't say about all scribes, but probably about majority of them. So some of the scribes were not negative, but many of them were like this. And Jesus speaks here about such scribes, and who speaks about them, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. So what long clothing means? So this long clothing shows us that many scribes wanted to show that they are different than ordinary people, and even they wanted to look not like other people, and they had many of them had special garments. It was long with the long sleeves, and it wasn't maybe comfortable to do any work, and maybe even not comfortable to go around, but it was very different from other people, and they wanted to show it. And this is a mark of a false teacher. If any religious teacher doesn't have anything inside, doesn't have enough spiritual things to teach the people, he can try to be different outwardly. So, and such garments they have. And also it is written, they love salutations in the marketplaces. And marketplaces were maybe the most crowded places in Israel of that time. Many people, and even now, so I live in St. Albert, and we have in summer, spring time, and September, October, we have a farmer's market, and this is the most crowded place in the town. So all the time, a lot of people come there, and so even I go there sometimes. So, and scribes loved or liked to come to marketplaces in their clothing, and they have a very religious appearance, and maybe they could stand there waiting when somebody applies to them, and not just with their first name, but people they liked when people called them teacher or father or such so they like different titles. And then the third thing about those scribes, Jesus says, so, and love the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, verse 39. And also in synagogues there were different seats, and the scribes liked to take the most, the best seats for the most respectable people. There was special box with rolls of scriptures there, and by that box there were several seats for such important people. And the scribes like to take such seats. Even sometimes they had a competition, maybe with other scribes. Maybe they came earlier there to take this seat. So they liked. Again, they wanted to show their importance, their piety. And also another, they love the uppermost rooms at feasts. So at feasts. When somebody, you know, some important and rich man invited guests, and all guests were also important people, and the best places were on the right hand or left hand from the owner of the house, from the master. And the scribes like to be the closer to the master as possible. So, and again, only important people could be closer to the master. And so we read those two verses, but why did Jesus speak about them, and why did he say, beware of the scribes? Okay, they had long clothing, love salutations and best chief seats and uppermost rooms, but this is not a big crime. So why people should beware them? But the most important thing that those spiritual leaders, religious teachers of that time were not real teachers. In fact, they were false teachers. And if we think, so in my life, in ordinary life, for example, can we imagine some instructor or teacher who we all, a lot of us, worked at different industries, and we know when we come to some company, to some factory or plant, first we should learn safety rules. And we have some instructor, or some written instruction, or just person who explains us those rules. Everywhere, even in office, I think also safety rules, don't drink ink or I don't know what. But in shop, in real plant, a lot of such rules, how to work with electrical equipment, with mechanical and so on. And can we imagine if we have such instructor there who will give us false, wrong instruction, for example, how to work with electrical equipment. And he tells us, do this, do this, do this, but not correct. And what can be the result? So such a student, after such instruction, when he begins his independent work, he can be seriously injured or even killed if he follows such false instructions. But I think none of us met such instructors. So it is, I think, nonsense in such some factory or plant. But those teachers, religious teachers, they were about like this. So, and even more dangerous, because when such false safety rule instructor, he can damage to several people, only to one or more. But those scribes and Pharisees, and we should say that almost all scribes, at the same time, they were Pharisees. And Pharisees, this is a sect, a Jewish sect, a religious sect. So, and those false spiritual teachers, they damaged not just one or two or 10 or 100 people. So they damaged all entire nation. And all people who followed them were damaged in spiritual sense. And we know that people of Israel, they followed their spiritual teachers. And this is like it is written in Book of Romans, chapter 10, I think it is written there, that faith comes by hearing. And this is a universal rule. People do and people believe in what they hear. And majority of population of Israel of that time, they believed their spiritual teachers, they believed scribes and Pharisees, and they were about like them. Even when we remember about disciples of Jesus, they were also members of that Jewish society. And one day they asked those disciples of Jesus, they asked Jesus, when we get to your kingdom, where will we sit? Who will sit on the right hand from you? Who on the left hand from you? So about same question and same desire they expressed like scribes. Also, So they spoke about how it is written, uppermost rooms, so closer to the master. So they wanted. So even disciples, so they were with Jesus, but they still had this influence from those false spiritual leaders. Yeah. And so this is very, very dangerous. And if we look at even today, so if some pastor or some priest, if he gives to his sheep, we can call them, to his people, incorrect gospel, if he doesn't preach the Bible like it should be preached, so those people will not find salvation, so they will not be saved, and they will go to eternal destruction. So spiritual leaders are the most maybe responsible people for that. Even when we say again about those false safety rules instructors, though I say again, none of us met such instructors, but even if such evil safety rules instructor brings somebody to death, if his student will be killed by electrical current, for example, it is not the ultimate problem. In any case, all of us will die someday. But if that student went had good spiritual teachers, if he had salvation through Jesus Christ, he will be saved. So his body will be killed by electricity, but his soul will go to heaven to be with Jesus. So the most spiritual teachers, their role in society is the most important, is the most important. And then verse 40, again about scribes, Jesus speaks, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. So what does it mean? Which devour widows' houses. So it means they were eating houses, but of course they didn't eat houses in direct sense, but in some sense it was true, because as we said before, those scribes, they were also lawyers of that time, they knew laws of that society, and they helped people. And it is written here about houses of widows. And we know that women were not equal at that time to men, and they were vulnerable people of that time, but widows were especially vulnerable and weak. And they were, how to say, easy target maybe for dishonest people. Because about those widows, women, they get married at early age of that time. They were not educated, they didn't know about laws, and they were busy with family, with household, with cooking, cleaning, and so on, with children. if they have, and with such works all the time. And when their husband was alive, it was good for them. But when husband died, they didn't know. Life was changed a lot for them, and they didn't know how to live. And some kind people came to them, kind, educated, like those scribes, and they said, oh, I can help you to manage with your property, with your finance, and I can give you good advice. If you follow those advices, everything will be okay. But with the time, and those women, widows, they were happy that somebody wants to help them, and they believed them. And those scribes, those dishonest people, finally they took their properties and money for themselves. So, and many times such widows were left without means for living, even. It was a lot of cases then. But even in our days, nothing is new, and in our days also there are such cases. I know, I think such cases can be everywhere. In North America, I think also such cases when false spiritual leaders lead their flock to wrong direction. But I know about one case better, and it was about 20 years ago, and later in Ukraine, in the capital of Ukraine, in Kiev. And there was there a pastor. He was born in Africa, in Nigeria. His name is Sunday Elijah, something like this. Yeah. There is information about him on internet. So, but he was probably a talented person. And he started a church there in Kiev, in the Ukrainian capital. And it was like evangelical, charismatic church. And it was growing, and it became like mega church. Like I heard, almost half of the city of Kiev went through this church, and only officially it had 25,000 members, and a huge building they had. And also, additionally to the church, this pastor and several leaders around him, they created investment company or investment fund. And they preached, this pastor preached prosperity. He said, if you are with God, if you are blessed by God, you should be rich. So it's not normal when a Christian, when a believer is poor. And if you, I will pray, and if you bring money to our investment fund, investment company, you will get with a big interest. So, and all of you becomes rich. And many people bring their money, and especially lonely women, And there were cases when people sold their houses, so they brought hundreds of thousands of dollars. And moreover, people took loans from banks, and again, not just a thousand, but hundreds again of thousand. And this pastor, if we can call him this Sunday Elijah, he became very rich. He has only in California 5 houses, and in Europe and everywhere. So, and later it was criminal case against him, but he wasn't put to jail. Yes, some people around him were. And what happened with those investors? So several people killed themselves because they lost everything. So they committed suicide, so they killed themselves. So, and a lot of people had a disaster. So it was a result of their, so they went to church and finally they killed themselves or found themselves in big problems. So this is example of a false spiritual leaders in our days. And I think this Sunday Elijah, he's not the only one. So, and Jesus warns us about such false spiritual leaders. And this is how we can understand better how they devour houses of widows. And then Jesus says that they love to make long prayers for a pretense, and for a pretense make long prayers. So they try to show themselves before other people that they were very religious, and they made long prayers. And even in Judaism of that time, it was such maybe like a rule. It was people believed that the longer prayer, the better God hears this such prayer. So prayer as long as you can. And those scribes, they were good specialists in such long prayers in front of other people. So, and when Jesus finished describing of those scribes, of those false spiritual teachers, Jesus concludes with such words, "They shall receive greater damnation." They shall receive greater damnation. So those false leaders, false spiritual teachers, will receive not just damnation, but greater damnation. From whom? From God. From God. But here we can notice that those scribes, Pharisees, as I said before, they knew many places from Old Testament by heart. And of course they knew many places, in fact, Old Testament, and they knew very well Old Testament, and in many places Old Testament speaks about widows, how people should treat those widows, for example. And in the book of, I will read one or two places. There are a lot of places in Old Testament, in New Testament also, but at that time there was no New Testament, only Old Testament, and a lot of places in Old Testament. And those scribes and Pharisees knew those places. Just I will read from Exodus, chapter 22, verses 22 to 24. "Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." This one place, and there are many similar places. And those scribes and Pharisees, they knew those places. And what? they continued to devour houses of widows. They continued to rob them. And not only them, but other people too. So what does it mean? How? This is a question. So they knew God's word, and they knew what God promises for such works, like they did for their relations, for their business with widows. They knew it. But why did they continue doing so? I have only one answer. They didn't believe. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe to God's word. They read it, but they say, oh, in themselves. Of course, before other people in synagogue, they say, oh, this is God's word. So, but they didn't believe, I think. And if they didn't believe in God, if they didn't believe God's word, but this is only one explanation. I don't see another. So, for example, if it is written in traffic rules, don't go on red light, especially when traffic is busy, and if I go against this traffic rules word, I will be killed maybe on next intersection or maybe in another. But they didn't believe in God's word. And there is no emptiness. If they didn't believe in God, if they didn't follow God's word, there is no emptiness inside of human. If somebody doesn't believe in God, Satan is all the time near us. And of course, Satan worked with those spiritual teachers a lot. He was near them, he tried to seduce them, to tempt them, and he maybe whispered to their ear, or it's not a big problem, yes, steal from that widow, and it will be okay, and God's word is not correct, of course. So with help of Satan, they did it. And finally, Satan took major place inside of them, in their soul. So those scribes and Pharisees were corrupt, and they were possessed by devil, in fact. And also here, I thought, when Jesus came with his new teaching, with his new doctrine, and he needed people, so he was alone in the beginning, but he needed people, helpers to spread his doctrine. And maybe we can think, he could go to those scribes. For example, in school has teachers, and from government comes order or direction, decree. Or in your school you will have new subject, especially not math or physics, now a lot of different subjects. And I heard that we have teachers, and maybe after some training, those teachers, they teach normally some subject, but they can also teach this new subject. And after some training, those teachers did it, maybe for the same salary, maybe with a little bit more. And I was thinking, maybe Jesus could come to them, to those scribes, so they knew they were educated people, they knew God's word, they were smart, and so on. And he could invite them and explain them their doctrine. They were almost ready spiritual teachers. Jesus could do it, maybe. And they could go to the people and preach his doctrine. But Jesus didn't do so. He chose absolutely new disciples for himself. They were not educated. They knew something of course they knew, all members of Jewish society had some basic spiritual education. So they knew about religion. But they were ordinary people, simple people, like fishermen or similar. Yeah. But there were exclusions from this rule, and Jesus took those simple people, he trained them personally for 3 years, and after his death, after his resurrection, he came again to them, to those disciples, and explained them scriptures about himself and so on, and then he sent them Holy Spirit, and they were prepared. They were completely armed, and they turned the world upside down, those uneducated people. But Jesus didn't invite those scribes and Pharisees, educated people, because they were on the Satan's side. It was impossible to use them, but there were some exclusions. There were some Pharisees and scribes like Nicodemus and Saul, who became Apostle Paul, or some exclusions. But there is a saying, exclusions only confirms a rule. Yeah, there is such a saying. So, and again, these shall receive greater damnation. So, God will punish such false spiritual leaders with a special punishment. But also it is interesting, I was thinking, that Jesus speaks with such strong words against scribes and Pharisees. And here in Mark chapter 12, this is quite short report here, but in Matthew chapter 23, much more it is written, and much stronger words of Jesus against, where he says, woes to you, scribes and Pharisees. So he spoke strongly against leaders, but as I said before, people of Israel of that time, they were also like those, because a student is like his teacher, not completely, but student is like his teacher, and people of Israel, ordinary people of Israel, they were like their spiritual teachers. It is natural, because faith comes by hearing. And Jesus never said against those ordinary people of Israel. So he understood they follow their spiritual leaders. They don't accept his doctrine, though they like to be healed, or their members of their family. Jesus healed a lot of them, and Jesus made a lot of good things for people of Israel, but they didn't accept him. Maybe they one time they hoped that Jesus will be their earthly king and he will deliver them from power of Romans, but they didn't, majority of people of Israel, they didn't accept him as a Lord, as a Savior. They didn't accept him. But Jesus never blames them for that, and he never speaks against ordinary people. He understood that they were sheep without good shepherd. And he, somewhere here we know that Jesus wept when he was on a hill, and Jerusalem was below him, and Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He wept, and it is written in Luke, Gospel from Luke 19:41-44. Maybe I will read a little bit from this. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, Jesus. And when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground. Yeah, he spoke that Jerusalem will be destroyed, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So Jesus so wept about those unsaved sinners. And still today, also the same. Jesus cries about unsaved sinners. When people are stubborn, when they don't come to God, so they hold on for their sins, and finally they will go to destruction, to hell. And Jesus weeps about this. And when an unsaved sinner will go to hell, there will be a joy. But who will be joyful? Satan will have a great joy that another sinner is going to hell. His job is done. But God, though God will send this sinner to hell, he will not be happy at all. God will experience pain and deep sorrow, because we know that God wants everybody not to perish but to come to repentance. And let us finish our text. And then, and 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So Jesus was sitting and looking how people put their donations to special vessels, and with big noise sometimes. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthen. And he called unto him, and he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So, and here we see how poor widow put last 2 small coins, 2 mites, and it was very small amount, and it was only 1/64th of denarius, and denarius was average payment for all day working. So 1/64th only. So, and it wasn't enough even for food. And she put everything there. And we can say, oh, such a generous woman, such a generous widow, she gave everything to God, and now she has nothing to do, only to die. But in fact, it is not so. If we connect with verses 38 to 40, we can say that this widow, just an example of their work of those scribes. So, and maybe it is written this poor, very poor widow came, but who knows, maybe she was some years ago, she was rich, no, relatively rich, or at least she had good living conditions, she had a husband, but then husband died, and then scribes came to her and took everything from her, and she became very poor. And they continued to tell her, give to God everything you have and you will be blessed, and so on. But it wasn't so. And in fact, God doesn't want the poor to give what he has. So God doesn't require so. And it was against God's word, in fact. So, and what in the end, and maybe one or two verses from the beginning of next chapter 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are there. So disciple tells Jesus, oh, what a beautiful building. And it was really, it was a very beautiful building, this temple. And Jesus answered, said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Here Jesus predicted destruction of the temple. And in fact, he predicted destruction not only of the temple, but destruction of that false, in fact, satanic, religious Jewish system. And some years later, it was fulfilled. So the temple was destroyed, and Jewish people were spread all over the world. Yeah, and today there are some talks about restoration of the temple. They call it the third temple. Maybe it will be built again or some, but we don't know. Maybe this is just conspiracy. But one thing we can, I can ask a question. Temple is not, it is important, but this is not so much important. Is the Jewish religion is it changed or it is the same like it was 2,000 years ago? So this is a question. Yeah, some people say that it is the same like it was at that time. And maybe the final thing I would like to say. So some people say that also this about this poor widow. Of course, this is, she gave everything. She gave everything she had. Like people say, she gave 100% of what she had. So the most generous, generous donation of all time, like world record of generosity. But it was on Wednesday, this widow gave her donation. Huge, 100%. But 2 days later, Jesus Christ gave more, even more. He gave his life. And also, this is treasury, and we have our own treasury, and we put to our treasury and money. $20, $50, well, some people can make bank transfer, but still money. So, and what I want to say, so we put bill money, and then the treasurer takes this money out of the box, and he pays for electricity, he buys something for church, and so on. So this is a means of payment. And what Jesus gave, he gave his life. He gave his donation, or maybe not donation, but sacrifice. So this donation, and another word, maybe sacrifice also, we can say. Yeah, in Russian word, in fact, we say like sacrifice when we give money to church. So, and Jesus sacrificed something. And if we compare what maybe some rich man, he can give to his church $10 million, $10 million, and for $10 million we can understand we can buy a lot of things. But Jesus gave to this treasury. And but also one more thing I would like to say, when we put for example false money or counterfeit money. Yes, false $100 bill, it is written one piece of paper, it is written $100, but when treasurer takes it, goes to buy something, for example, nails or paint, to paint walls, and in the store, oh, it is not real money. So it is not. So, but Jesus gave his life. And this means of payment was acceptable by store, we can say, by it was acceptable by God. And only one life was acceptable by God. A lot of brave people, a lot of people, if we ask somebody, are you willing, are you ready to give your people to give your life, and all people in the world will be happy and healthy and so on. And I think maybe in the world thousands of men and women come forward and say, I am ready. But for God, only one sacrifice was acceptable. Only one life. This is life of Jesus Christ, Lamb of God. He was innocent. He was without sin. He was Son of God. Only this this is a real currency. And it is possible to buy something precious. And what? Lives or souls of all mankind. Souls of all mankind was bought, was purchased, was paid for this life of Jesus Christ. And for us today, yes, there are a lot of spiritual false teachers and Satan around us and demons and internet and false teachers everywhere. Take this smartphone and a lot of sermons and now it even more now false religious teachers than at that time. But the most important that Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, gave his life for us. He shed his pure blood, his precious pure blood for our sins. And when we believe in it, that he died for us, he shed his blood for us, for our sins, when we believe in it, nothing can be more powerful than this. Like Jesus said, my Father gave to me this church, and nothing can take out of my hand those saved people. So, and let us believe in it, and to live with it, and to be with it till the end of our lives. So in the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah, and in the end, accept God's blessing or benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Next hymn.
Bring the bread of life.
In his prayer this morning, Neil caused us to remember Remembrance Day and the remembering of those who have given their lives or sacrificed their lives for our freedom. And for the Christian, there can be no greater Remembrance Day than the day and the time and the moment that we remember the one who has sacrificed his life, as we heard, for our eternal life. And that is what the communion service really is. It is a time of remembrance. It is a remembrance day, a remembrance moment. And it's a blessed and a beautiful time. So let's begin our communion service this morning by remembering the statement of faith that is found in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray with and for those who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood, they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to them, saying, Take and eat, this is my body broken for you. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us again pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. And as we have been doing, we will do similarly where you can come and take the cup. And those that wish to partake of communion at the rail, I will pass a tray along through the front from which you can take a cup. Otherwise, you can take a cup and go back to your pew. Thank you.
Take and eat the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, broken for you. Take and drink the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. May the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your souls unto everlasting life. Amen. Truly, we should give thanks unto the Lord for all that he has given to us and for his rich grace. And may you go forth and proclaim his suffering, his death, and his glorious resurrection until he comes again. Arise and depart in the peace of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, thou who hast called us to thy holy supper, we heartily thank thee that thou hast nourished us with thy body and blood and refreshed us with thy grace and goodness. Lord Jesus, abide with us. Into thy hands we commend ourselves, desiring to be thine own forever. Amen.